Welcome to Defined by Moments. As today's beliefs and behaviors determine who we become tomorrow, this moment, right now, is how we learn to live better so that we can lead better. Now, let's turn it over to Dr. Joel Medley for today's lesson from God's Word.
So welcome back, friends, as we are now at our 100th episode of Defined by Moments. And you might be thinking that confrontation is kind of a strange topic for, you know, such a milestone episode with a podcast, but I disagree. Because in leadership, confrontation is how you merge goals and progress with reality. Confrontation is how you can best prepare and guide and direct others in the way that we should go. And quite frankly, in our modern day world, confrontation is either not done at all or it is done incorrectly. And the thing that I want to make sure that you understand is we have a biblical example in what Nehemiah is doing in confronting not only the high priest, not only the nobles, but also the people here. And if you remember from our last episode, we talked about a threefold cycle. That first step is you teach. Once you have taught, then you take action, and then you follow back up by training. And if you remember the difference between teaching, it's what is right. When you get to taking action, it's when you do what's right. It's where you do what's right. And then finally, when we get to that last piece of training, it's no longer just, hey, this is the right thing to do, but training is how to keep doing what is right. It is a threefold cycle that is important, and we see example after example after example here with Nehemiah. So we stopped at verse 14, so open your Bibles back to Nehemiah chapter 13, and we'll pick up in verse 15. He said, in those days I saw the people. Now this is important. So he has spent time with the high priest. He has spent time with the nobles and the rulers and the priests. Now he turns to the people. But in those days I saw the people in Judah treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in sheaves and loading donkeys with wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I warned them about that day on which they were selling provisions. If that's not bad enough, look at verse 16. The men of Tyre dwelt there also, who brought in fish and all kinds of goods and sold them on the Sabbath to the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Verse 17, and I contended, he confronted. I contended with the nobles of Judah and said to them, what evil thing is this that you do by which you profane the Sabbath day? Now, here's the amazing part for us. As leaders, whether we are in a workspace, whether we are in our homes, the way that you properly confront someone is not by accusing, you ask questions. And that's exactly what he's doing here. He turns around and he goes to them and he goes, what evil is this that you're doing? In other words, he's saying, tell me what you're doing and why you're doing it on the Sabbath. Then he continues again. Did not our fathers do thus? And did not our God bring all this disaster on us and on this city? So there's a secondary question. So not only has he turned around and goes, tell me what you're doing. He then goes, considering all that we have talked about historically, all that you know that we should be doing, don't you understand the implication of why, what's going to happen with what you're doing? So he's putting questions to them. And then he makes his first statement. Yet, you bring added wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath. He didn't just ask two questions, then he made the conclusion. And by making that conclusion, he leaves it without doubt. One of the bad things that we do when we are confronting individuals is we use what's often called the sandwich method, where we'll say something good, we'll kind of say the things that we want to say, and then we'll say something good at the end. And what that does is it absolutely confuses the individual that we're having the conversation with. So what we need to do is we need to say what we mean. That's exactly what we see Nehemiah doing right here. He lays it out very clearly that they've done wrong. Verse 19, "So it was at the gates of Jerusalem as it began to be dark before the Sabbath that I commanded the gates to be shut and charged that they must not be opened till after the Sabbath." Now notice what he does here. "Then I posted some of my servants at the gates so that no burdens would be brought in on the Sabbath day." So he has taught them, we know we shouldn't be doing this. He has taken action. He's posted guards. And then his training is they're going to stay there. Notice the next verse. "Now the merchants and the sellers of all kinds of wares lodged outside of Jerusalem once or twice." So in other words, these people were waiting for the first opportunity that if that door cracked open, they were coming right in to continue their business. "Then I warned them and said to them, why do you spend the night around the wall? If you do so again, I will lay hands on you. From that time on, they came no more on the Sabbath." In other words, he was going to seize their goods. Remember, he was the governor of this area. He had been commissioned by the king to rebuild that wall. He had the authority to be able to go, we're going to take what you have. So in other words, you do what's right, or we're going to take the means from which you want to do evil. Now, why is this important for us? Well, anytime that a leader deals with confrontation, you will confront the individual that needs to have a course correction. You will give them the opportunity to change. If they don't, then you have to up the ante. That is called progressive discipline. Or it's a progressive step to make sure that you're getting them to the point that they need to be. And if they're not going to, then you as a leader have to make the hard decision of potentially letting them go from where you are. Nehemiah was being very clear. You do what's right. You take action to do what's right. And if you don't, then I'm going to have to go to the extreme. That's a harsh place, but that's what leaders do. Leaders will not allow the little things to go. Why? Because the little things translate into big things. For instance, if you go back to what we talked about last week, the little thing of building that room for this guy that was an enemy of God, what did that lead to? It led to a lack of giving. It led to a lack of tithes being brought in to support the priests. What you ignore today will become normal tomorrow. Don't lose sight of that fact. But then Nehemiah goes one step further in verse 22. He says, "And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves and that they should go and guard the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day." Again, he turns to the priests. He goes, "You are the ones that should be leading this charge, and you haven't. So you go get yourself right, and then you go lead the people." So again, we see the cycle. Teach, take action, train. Look at verse 23. So we move on from no respect to now where we're going to get to no persistence. "In those days, I also saw Jews who had married women of Ashdod and Ammon and Moab. And half of their children spoke the language of Ashdod and could not speak the language of Judah, but spoke according to the language of one of the other people. So I contended with them," there's confrontation again, "and cursed them, struck some of them, and pulled out their hair, and made them swear by God, saying, 'You shall not give your daughters as wives to their sons, nor take their daughters for your sons or yourselves.'" Now this sounds harsh. Well, if we go back to the beginning of the chapter where there are mixed people that are coming to the temple, how did that happen? Because they were intermarrying. They had read God's word. They had taken those people out of the temple. But now we see that they are continuing to intermarry. They knew better, but they didn't care. When you have someone that knows better and they don't care, then you have to really ramp up what you are going to do as a leader to get them to head in the right direction. That's the hard part. That's why not everyone is going to be a leader, because not everyone is willing to have those difficult conversations. Now, again, it does seem harsh that Nehemiah pulled out their hair, but what he's doing is he, in essence, is trimming their beards. that this was an aspect of shame that is being brought upon them. Why? Because of their own actions. You have an idea in your head. That idea leads to a choice, and every choice has a consequence. So what Nehemiah is doing is he is showing them your choices. You either make wise choices to receive wise consequences, or you make poor choices and you will receive harsh consequences. But I want to make sure that we don't miss what he does here. He doesn't just charge at them. He then takes the time to teach what is right. Did not Solomon, the king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations there was no king like him, who was beloved by his God. And God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, pagan women caused him to sin. Should we then hear of your doing all this evil? In other words, if Solomon, the greatest king in all of Israel, the wisest man on the earth, if he is going to fall, then why do you think that you could stand on your own two feet? Now, if this is not bad enough, look at what happens in verse 28. And one of the sons of Jehoiada, the son of Eliashib the high priest, was a son-in-law of Sanballat the Horonite. Therefore, I drove him from me. Now let's walk this back. Earlier in the chapter, Nehemiah has had to confront Eliashib because he built this bachelor pad, this special room within the temple, a place that he should not have been. But now we see that the grandson of the high priest is married into the family of Sanballat, another enemy of God. So again, we have the family of the high priest that is choosing to ally themselves with an evil man rather than fully and wholly and completely following God. My friends, when leaders become more politicians than leaders, then the price is that they are powerless. There are individuals that run for public office that will say, you know, I believe God's word, yet we see multiple times that they transgress God's word willingly. We see that it happens publicly, and we see that when they are called on the carpet for that, their response is not confession. Their response is not shame. Their response is, well, anybody can fall. It's excuse. A leader that excuses sin in their own lives can never confront sin in the life of another. But where do we find what happened here? Clearly, this grandson learned from his father. Where did the father learn from? His father. Eliashib, earlier in the chapter, by what he did, created a legacy that his family would follow. So what Nehemiah did is he took the action that the priest would not do, and he threw that priest out. You have compromised your values. You have compromised your purity. You can no longer serve your God in the temple. That's confrontation. But that's teaching, that's taking action, and that's training. That is our cycle that we need to make sure that we understand that we all follow in confrontation. So the last thing here that we have from Nehemiah is how he focused on leaving the right legacy. And how did he do it? He did it through confrontation. He did not leave a lasting legacy here in chapter 13 by looking the other way, so that people could be comfortable. What he did in confrontation is he was challenging people to do the correct things. There is a complete difference between comfort and correct. He challenged others to know and to do right. He made the unpopular decisions. He took on some power brokers of his location when they were wrong. Why? Not to build his reputation, not to promote his own wealth, but for the name for the honor and for the glory of God. My friends, as a leader, wherever you lead, that is to be your job. That is to be your sole responsibility, is Matthew 5:16, is to let your light shine so that others see your good works and not say you're great, but to see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Legacy, my friends, legacy comes from loving conversations that leave comfort by leaning into character. That's in your character development because you need to have the conversation, but also in the developing the character of the other individuals. But teach, take action, and train. Teach what is right. Taking action, that's the when and the where to do what is right. And then finally, that aspect of training is how to keep doing the right things. As Nehemiah wraps up this book, specifically this last chapter where he has confronted multiple people on multiple issues to point them to God, his last closing phrase is, "Remember me, O my God, for good." Nehemiah was a vessel that was poured out before God. And as was his standard, he prayed as a conclusion to his work. And what is that conclusion? Lord, remember me. Lord, I did my best. And he left the rest with God. So my friends, as we wrap this up, I want to give you this quote one more time because I believe that it is absolutely important for us to know, to understand, and to do. Legacy comes from loving conversations that leave comfort by leaning in to character. Thank you so much for listening to Defined by Moments, where we discuss topics showing that how we live determines how we lead. Hope to have you back with us in the not too distant future, and you take care.